have a brand new series that is starting today. And I would say this is as close to the vision or a vision series that I think we're going to have for the year. You know, normally we'll do a series on vision. And so what is the church supposed to do? What is the church supposed to be? Where are we heading? And I really believe that this series is going to set the pace for the next several quarters for us as a church. And it started about last year. And I'm just going to tell you kind of how the series began, and then we're going to jump right into it. But I really like Dr. Henry Cloud. Anybody in here know who Dr. Henry Cloud is? He's written a few books. He's just an incredible guy, solid believer, but he's also a psychiatrist. He had a clinical practice for a while. Well, now he started a program called Churches That Heal. And so he's taken churches through this program. And so the pastor goes first, and then the staff goes through it. And so we went through it. It was called Churches That Heal. It's a five-week kind of series that we went through together as a staff and our lead team, and it was amazing, incredible. What came out of those 5 weeks as a staff, as a team, I feel like we're closer than we've ever been. We're healthy. We know where we're heading. We had a lot of things that happened. Just the dynamic of the team completely changed. And so Churches That Heal, the whole concept is this: a church that heals is full of people that have been healed. It's a church that's healed. And so if we want to be a life-giving church, because we do, and we want to keep reaching out to the community, we want to make a difference, sometimes we got to stop and focus on the inside and make sure that we're healed, that we're healthy, so that we can do what God's called us to do. It's like the whole spiel you get when you fly. You know, it's you put your mask on first, right? Because then you put your mask on so that I can help the person next to me. I can help the person in the seat next to me. But I got to make sure that I'm okay, that I have what I need so I can reach out. And so it's 5 weeks. We're going to go through this together. Today, we're going to talk about the path to healing, which is coming from the parable of the fig tree. Many of you know that. Next week is going to be about relational connections. And so we're going to talk about relationships. We need relationships. We need each other. We're going to talk about boundaries. I know we went through that book together during our summer reading series, but we're going to pick up with that again. And then we're going to talk about pain a little bit, how to process it. You know, the last couple of months have been full of a lot of it, right? We've gone through some stuff. We've lost some stuff. Everybody in here has lost something this year. It could be the ability to go to work and be around other people. You might be working from home. It could be the ability to go to school. It could be a relationship. So we've gone through some serious stuff, especially if you add the storm on that. And then the last week, I'm hoping to get somebody else to do that week. That week sums it all up, becoming an adult. And so how do we grow up and how do we move into all God has for us? And so today we're going to talk about the path to healing. And this is specifically going to focus on those areas that make it to your New Year's resolution list every year. And you know what I'm talking about. Like, this is the year. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to start this. I'm gonna finally shake this habit. This is the year. 21 days, I'm not going to do this. Or 21 days, I'm going to do this. And so this is really pinpoints those areas. And what I think begins to happen, I know in my own life, is we almost start to give up if things don't get better. If you've ever really had, and I know you have, had a problem that you couldn't seem to fix. And what do you do with those things in your life? Those areas of your life, they're on your new, it shows up on the New Year's resolution every year. And now, you know, with the way 2020 has been, normally it's magnified those areas in our life. And so if I struggled with anxiety, I really struggle with it now with the year we've had. Or if I had struggled with depression, I'm really, really feeling it now. Or if it was addiction, you know, the relapses are up 50% in the United States. And so it's people are facing a lot in their life. And so this really is going to answer that question. And so our theme verse is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You may know the song, you know, to everything, turn, right? That's where it came from, this verse here. I'm not going to read it all, but we're going to start in verse 1. I'm just going to give you the first three verses. There's a time for everything. And a season for every activity under the heavens. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to uproot. There's a time to kill, and there's a time to heal. A time, that's what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. There's a time to tear down, and there's a time to build. And so what? So I really believe that over the next few weeks that God is going to do some incredible things inside of our lives, that he's going to bring healing to places that maybe we've struggled with for a long time. And normally what we do is when there's an area of our life that we are underperforming, or area of our life that's not getting better, the first usually swing at making it better is to just try harder, right? I got to do better. I got to put more rules in place. I've got to do more stuff. I got to get more serious. I got to get more discipline. But that approach is about like telling somebody with a broken arm trying to swim around the pier to swim harder. You know what I'm saying? It's like I have a broken arm. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell me to do better and swim harder or faster, but I got to deal with this. I need to be healed. There's something in my life that's impairing me from doing better. And so we're going to look at those things, and our first text is going to be in Luke 13. And in Luke 13, we really see the path to healing. There's three ingredients here that we're given in this parable that shows us, okay, if I'm going to get better in this area of my life, if there's a place in my life that needs to be healed, these three ingredients are going to be there. And it's the parable of the fig tree. So we're going to start in verse 6, Luke 13. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit, but nothing was there. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years, okay, this has been broken for a long time. 3 years I've been coming to this tree, and it hasn't had any fruit. So he gets frustrated. Cut the thing down. Why are we wasting the dirt? Here's the principle. Verse 8, here's where we're going to stay this morning. Sir, the man replied, give me a year. Let me dig around. And let me fertilize it. Before you give up on things getting better, right? Before you just cut it down and say, I'm done with this relationship, I'm leaving. Before you get to that place, try these things. He says, I'm going to just dig around the root system, throw some fertilizer on it, and give it a year. And the man agreed. And he says, if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down. And so those three concepts, those three ingredients is the pathway to healing. Because we all have things in our life that's maybe just not performing the way we'd like it, like this fig tree, or it's not bearing fruit. It's a problem, and it's just not getting fixed. And so we want to go straight to it. And the first thing that he talks about is, he says, before you cut it down, let me fertilize it. And so for me, one of these big areas of my life that I've struggled with, and I don't like talking about it a lot, but it's something that I've really struggled with, is addiction. And as a kid, you know, it started kind of early, and it grew into a full, you know, Warren Buffett says this, the chains of addiction cannot be felt until they're too heavy to be broken. And oftentimes, that's what happens. And so we start these little habits that grow into bigger habits, and then when we realize we have a problem, we can't get out of it. And so that started early for me, and I'll tell you, I was the best quitter you'd ever met in your life. I'd quit smoking, you know, every week. You know, I'd quit. I was great at quitting, and then I would just pick it right back up. And so the first thing I would try to do is I would just tell myself to do better. I'm going to be disciplined this time. I'm going to get around that. I'm going to get out of that crowd. I'm going to be able to do this on my own. And that's usually what we see is somebody struggling with addiction. You've watched Intervention, right? They bring them in a room. And they go around, and each person tells them, if you don't do something, we are cutting you off completely, right? Right? Mama's there. Grandma's there. The Tom Thumb, the dude that owns the Tom Thumb that the person gets gas at every week, he's there. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, I'm not even going to sell you any gas if you don't get in that car and go to rehab. Right? They bring them to it. And so that's usually the route we go. But there's a study I found, it was done in the 70s by a guy named Dr. Bruce Alexander, and it's called the Rat Park, right? This is a crazy study. He called it the Rat Park. Well, he was studying mice, and he was studying addiction. And so he had put a mouse in a cage, and in one water bottle would have just regular water. The other water bottle, they'd sprinkle a little cocaine in it. So for real. So in the 70s, you know, it was the 70s. Everybody was experimenting with drugs in the 70s. And so this guy did it over and over and over. And he found every time the mice would go to the cocaine water and just drink it into oblivion. And then usually it would just kill them. And so they tried heroin, and they tried all these drugs, and they studied. They were trying to find a rat that wouldn't do it, and they couldn't. And so this guy had an idea. He said, all right, let's try this. I'm going to put a few mice in here. So he put two or three mice in there, and then he found that when there was other mice in the cage, the mice didn't drink the cocaine water. They would try it, you know what I mean? They'd get a little key bump or something. You know what I'm sorry. They would, like, taste it, but they wouldn't kill themselves with it. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all pray for me. Okay, I'm being honest right now. I'm telling you. None of the mice ended up dying. And so you can Google it. You know, you can Google TED Talk in mice, and it'll come right up. TED Talk addiction in mice. And they found if the mice had something to do, if they had other mice in the cage, they wouldn't go to the cocaine. They wouldn't go to the hair. They just needed other people in their lives. And when the guy says, before you cut it down, let me fertilize it, what he's saying is, let me try to bring in some outside help. Not the other way around. I'm going to cut this tree off from all water, from all sun. That's the approach we normally take, and it doesn't work. When somebody is really, really stuck, and they really, really are hurting, and they really, really need help, the last thing that's going to help them is cutting relationships off in their life. They need grace. And grace is basically, it's help from outside of yourself. We don't have the ability. Oftentimes, there's things we go through in life and there's stuff we struggle with that we can't get out of. And I learned that kind of early. And I'll never forget the morning I finally started getting better. I called my cousin, and he was a police officer, and he was the only person I knew that had some kind of organization, and I knew he went to church, and I said, hey, man, I'm in a real bad spot. I need some help. And I kept doing that. And I got help from every cousin I could find. Come on, right? And I got help from every person I knew that could help me with this. And I found other people that had been where I was. And I asked them, hey, help me. I don't need to be threatened. I just need some help. I got to get better. This area of my life, I need grace. I need fertilizer. And here's the thing about humans is what we need to survive, we can't get it from ourselves. We go to what we were created from to get that substance that we need. Like our bodies was created from the earth, out of the clay. And so we need food and water to sustain it. Well, your soul didn't come from the food, didn't come from dirt. It came from God. He breathed into you the breath of life, right? And so when we hit stuff that's got our soul tied up, the only place we can go and get what we need is where we came from. And sometimes that's the last thing we do. It's the last resort. And so this guy's saying, don't cut the tree down. Give it some grace. Hang on. Let me get some more water into this thing. Let me try some fertilizer. Let me bring some outside help in. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another. Build each other up. That literally means to inject somebody with courage. When we really want to begin the healing process in our life, we really want to get better. Some people I've found, they just don't want to get better. They don't want to get better, right? But if you really do, you're saying, I'm ready. I have tried everything I know to try. I'm ready to heal. This is going to be the first step, is you're going to have to start allowing other people to help you. You're going to have to get to the point to where you ask for help. And it's going to come from outside of you. And it'll come through God, but it may come through a coach. It may come through a grandfather. It may come through mom or dad. It may come through your best friend. It may come through that person at work that gets on your nerves. But every now and then, they get it right because they know you and they know what you're facing. It's fertilizing. It's grace. I need help. I need that grace. I need outside help. It's putting courage in each other. It's James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Why? Pray for one another. So, not so you can be forgiven, so that you can be healed. I go to God for forgiveness, but you know what? I need you for healing. I need a community to heal. I need people to help me. I need people around me. I can go straight to God for forgiveness, but the way he set this thing up is I need people in my life if I'm going to get better, if I'm going to get healed, if I'm going to allow God to bring me out of some of the stuff that I've gone through in my life. I am going to need somebody. Come on, I need a little help from my friends. Come on. I get by with a little bit of help from my, we need that, and we don't graduate from it. And that's, I think, what happens is we feel like, well, I'm tough. I've been through enough. I'm going to just put my head down. I'm going to get through this. And it just sneaks up on us. And so number one, we fertilize it. What is it? To make it plain, healing begins when I receive help from outside of myself. That's where it begins. When I make the phone call. When I ask, when I just level with somebody. Hey, I'm struggling with this. Hey, this is going on. I find myself, I'm really anxious right now. To the point where I don't even want to go to work. I don't want to go to school. I get paranoid and crap. Like, you gotta tell somebody. And as soon as you start on, you know, what you uncover in your life, I've been told God will, he'll cover it. He'll heal it. When you can just tell, if you can just look for help and get to the point where, okay, I'm gonna throw some fertilizer on this. And when things are really bad and when people are in a really bad spot, and we've all been there, and I've been there more than once, that's when we need a lot of fertilizer, right? That's when we need a lot of grace. Come on, somebody. God's riches at Christ's expense. Like, we need a lot of outside help, and because we're not God. We can't fix ourselves. Only God can do that. So we got to go to him. We got to go to others. And then the second thing he did is he said, okay, I'm going to put a little fertilizer on it, but then I'm going to get the shovels. And this is the part we don't like. And he says, I'm going to dig around this thing, and I'm going to find the rocks and the debris. There's something in the soil. And so the second thing we need if we're going to heal in our life, we need grace. But we can't just have grace, right? That's the participation ribbon crowd. Come on, somebody, right? Oh, it's okay, little Johnny. You did good. I mean, I know you was running around chasing a butterfly the whole time. You know, right? Like, we need grace and we need encouragement. We need, it's like, it's life to us. But then we also need truth. Okay, you're struggling, son. I know what's going on in your life. This is what your next steps are. This is how we're going to get better. It's Jesus, John 1, verse 14. Full of grace. Come on, somebody. Full of truth. He wasn't half grace, half truth. He wasn't just a really nice guy, and then every now and then he would kind of say something pretty harsh. No, he was 100% grace, and he was 100% truth. He would sit down, and he would draw on the sand and defend the woman caught in adultery, calling all the other, you know, reading everybody's mail, and then look down at her and say, I don't condemn you. Grace. Go and sin no more. Truth. He married it. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. If we want to get better in our life, we got to have grace. And then the second thing we need is we got to have that truth. The truth. And it's got to move from here to here, right? It's because I know a lot of people that know a lot of scripture, but they don't apply any of it. Give me something new, Pastor. Why don't you apply what you learned last week? Come on, somebody. Like, why don't you just, you know, try that out? And we're looking for new deep stuff here. And it's like, well, how about we just start with what we know? It's John Maxwell, biggest gap in the world. It's not the Grand Canyon. It's not the Pacific or the Atlantic. It's the gap between knowing and doing. And so we got to get down there, and we need somebody that's full of grace, but then we need somebody who can speak truth into our life. That we can apply. It's got to move from our head to our heart. It's John 8, verse 31. It doesn't say, he who memorizes the most scripture is the most free. Or is the most, you know, no, it says, this is exactly what it says. If you hold to my teaching, then you're my disciple. And so you'll know the truth. It's applying the truth. And when we apply the truth, it sets us free. And so we need people in our life that can speak truth and grace into us. We got to have people in our life that can just tell us what's going on. And because we all have blind spots, we all have areas of our life that we maybe don't see. Everybody's got them. You know, we need somebody that can just really speak the truth. Like, when I get you, what do I get? Ask your wife or husband that. Come on, right? Right? Or ask your best friend. Or ask the person you work with. When I get you, what do I get? Are you laughing, happy? You fun to be around? Or you know, sometimes that's a loaded question, okay? But when I get you, you got to have somebody that'll speak truth into your life. One time, I had just taken a job as a youth pastor, and the campus pastor there asked me. He said, "Hey, I'd love to kind of coach you on your communication and speaking." And I was like, "Yeah, sure, I'd love that. I never had anybody do that." You know, normally it was somebody just sending an anonymous email or something. You know, I was like, sure, I'd love for you to do that. And so I spoke on that Sunday, and a couple of days later, he called me to his office. He said, all right, I watched the message. It was awesome, and I just got a couple questions, you know. The first question, were you mad about something? You know, I said, what do you know? He's like, well, you kind of came right out of the gate like at 100 miles an hour. Like you're really, really projecting your voice. You know, I'm like, okay. All right. I mean, I could, you know, I didn't know what to do. I was like, I could see that. I got it. And then he was like, was there a bug up there or something? I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, are you kidding? And then he showed me a video, and it was like, you know, like it looked like I was swatting bees, or you know, I had no idea. I still got to think about that. I do this the whole time. It looked like somebody's drowning on the stage. I'm like, okay, you got me. You're right. I can work on that. You know. And he's like, so how long did you preach? You know, these are teenagers, and you get about 10 minutes. I've learned that. It took me a year and a half to learn that. He's like, I was like, probably, you know, I didn't know how long I'd preached. I was like, maybe 20, 30 minutes. He's like, 58 minutes. And I was like, okay. I said, I get it. But so anyways, that was truth. And it hurt a little bit, but I needed it because I wanted to get better. I genuinely wanted to get better. Now, I could have got offended and quit, right? That was like my first reaction was, I don't know. This guy doesn't know me. You know what I mean? And he's saying all this. But it's when we're open to truth, when we're open to feedback, and we can receive it. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Because he helped me. The wounds of a friend can be trusted. So we, you know, to really get better, to find the healing we need, we've got to have somebody, we got to be insulated with truth. Insulate our life with truth. We got to have people around us that are not impressed by us, that they don't work for us. Come on, so right? Like there's no repercussions if they tell us the truth. You got to open yourself up to that. And it's hard. It's hard to do because nobody likes it. Nobody wants to be, you know, come under the microscope. But if we want to get better and we want to get healed, we want the healing we need, it's going under the scalpel willfully. You know, there's going to be some blood. It's going to cut. There's going to be some sting, and it's not going to be pleasant. But I really want this thing in my life to get better. And so healing starts when I go outside of myself. I receive help from outside of myself, but it continues when I'm willing to receive truth, when I'm willing to receive what God is speaking into my life. I think it was Winston Churchill. He said, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing happened. We normally know. You know, we know the areas of our life where we need to work. And so we just open ourselves up to that truth. We open ourselves up. And again, I think it's God will place the right people in your life. And we don't do that, I think, a lot of times because we've had a bad experience. Right? Somebody was controlling, or somebody was just, it was just truth. There was no grace, right? Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Right? I'm speaking this to you because I love you. I'm speaking this to you because I want you to get better. And when it's just rules, and you know, I was going to Bible college. We were in this intern program, and we couldn't do nothing. Like, we couldn't be out after dark. We couldn't go to movies, couldn't listen to secular music, couldn't have a girlfriend, couldn't ride in a car with the opposite sex. There was a lot of rules. And let me just tell you what my experience was. We started making mistakes. A couple of us guys started getting in trouble. And so they made up with the rules. And so the more they went up with the rules, the worse the whole class got. For real, right? And so instead of healing from the stuff we were doing and getting better, we just started hiding it. And it just went underground for a little bit. And so I think what the concept here is when the truth is revealed to us, when truth comes, when we're open to healing, we're going to welcome it. Right? We're going to receive it. We're going to walk in the truth that God has for, unless we're perfect, right? Come on, somebody. Unless you've made it to that point, but I don't think anybody has, and I don't think we ever will. And so this process never stops. And so we're at the fig tree, We fertilized it. We've dug around it. And then the last thing that he says, so this grace, it's truth. And then the last thing that this gardener responds with is he says, just give me 1 year. Give it a year. Before you cut it down, before you give up on it, give it a year. And so the third path to healing, to things that we go through in our life, to some of the wounds of our past, is it's going to be just time, right? It's going to be time. It's going to be allowing God, giving him the time that we need to get better. And so that is really, it doesn't happen in our world right now. And you know, I worked at a corporate place for a while. I'm not even going to say their name. I'm not going to say Pepsi, but that's where I work. You know, I worked there for a little bit, and so working in a corporate world, it's kind of the same everywhere. Like it's the same environment. It's the same. And I noticed that you know, with in the corporate world, you could lose a spouse, you could lose a child, and in the United States, the average bereavement time is 3 days to 4 days. And so do we really think that a person, once they go through something like that, is ready to come right back to work in 3 days? And I think what's happening and what I know I have done is I've walked through losses in my life and I never healed from it. And I went right back to work because it's a distraction. I'm ready to go back to work. I don't want to think about what I just went through. I'm ready to get busy. I'm ready to stay busy, right? I need this. I need to go because I don't. And so I'm just telling you right now to pause and take serious the losses in your life. Don't cheapen that. When you go through loss, when you go through seasons of loss, just like our body needs time to heal from it. It needs time. And so that's this last, I think, principle here when it comes to healing and walking in the healing that God has for us, is I want you to see what this guy doesn't do. He doesn't blame the tree. And I think that's what a lot of people do. When you got stuff in your life that's not getting better, you blame yourself. Well, it just runs in my family. My dad was an addict. My grandfather was an addict. It's me. I'm broken. Well, they left because something's wrong with me. I didn't have, like, we start beating ourselves up. We start internalizing it. And what I want you to see is what this gardener that knew how to heal this tree didn't blame the tree. It was the soil. It was the environment. And then we live in a world, I hate to say this, that's just kind of going crazy. Come on, somebody, right? Like, we live in a world that the environment is hard to grow anything healthy. And so time and grace and truth is how we get into the healing, is how we allow God to go inside of our soul and do the work that he needs to do. And I know it looks different for every person, and I know that some people are better at this than others, but this is really kind of the challenge that I wanted to leave you with, is because God will, you know, sometimes he'll take us through seasons and he'll take us through processes, and it seems like things are just not even there anymore. I remember when my mom was, when I was growing up, out in Robinson Point, I tell this, we had a little cabin, and my mom, she liked to grow roses, and she had these beautiful rose bushes on the front porch, and she would grow these roses, and they were just amazing, and she dries them out, so she'll like spray them with hairspray and hang them up and dry them out, and so we had all these awesome roses around our house, and I'll never forget watching, you know, my mom, and she knew how to cultivate these good, really nice roses. She knew what she was doing. And she would go out there some years, and she would cut that bush back down to almost a stump. And it looked like everything that bush had was gone. There was no way it was coming back. And I'm finding in life that when you put pruners in the hands of a person that knows what they're doing, it's healing. You put those same prunes in the hands of somebody that doesn't know what they're doing, and you don't get the same results. Well, my mom knew that cutting those roses back, that bush, was the only way to get it to keep bearing fruit. It was the only way to really make sure it survived. And I think our life is very, very similar. We go through seasons where we lose stuff. We've all just went through that. Every person in this building that's watching right now, there's no way you've lived this year and not lost something. Probably something very important to you, something very close. But I don't want you to see it as a loss. I want you to just see it as a season. That your hand is in, your life is in the hands of the master gardener. Come on, somebody. And he knows what he's doing. And if we just give it time, we don't give up and we don't leave the process and we don't just walk away from it and we don't, you know, if we just give it time, God's able to bring healing and he's able to bring life out of things that we have forgotten about. And so my mom taught me something with a rose bush. If you don't cut it back, it'll actually produce too many roses. And so none of the roses will be nice. They'll all be kind of, you know, some of them will be halfway grown. And so if you want really, really good roses, you got to go through some pruning. You got to cut it back. You got to cut that bush back. And I feel like that's what God, maybe that's what God's doing in our life right now. That God is wanting us to heal, and he knows that we're going through a season right now that's tough for a lot of you. I know that you're facing things right now that you would never want to walk into willfully. You didn't ask for this, right? You didn't pray for this, but here we are. And I think if we just open our hearts to God, I believe he wants to bring healing into some places. And so that's what I want us to do that right now. If you're watching online, if you're here, if you just bow your head and us to go to God together, because healing completes when I trust God's process, and time is part of the process. And so, Lord, we just open ourselves to you. God, we ask that over the next 5 weeks as we journey through this together, that you would bring healing. Bring healing into places of our heart that maybe we didn't even know were broken. Maybe we've been treating symptoms and the real root is something inside of us. There's something that we didn't process. There's a loss that we just didn't grieve. Or maybe we're just scared. We're facing so much in our life right now, and this is a new season for so many people. I just, even in just right now in this moment, Lord, I pray for your peace that passes understanding, that it would fill every heart, fill every soul. And so, Lord, we go to you for healing. We open ourselves. We open our hearts, Lord. We just ask, God, that you would, as David prayed, search my heart, God. If there's anything in there that I need to deal with, anything in there that shouldn't be there, I trust my life to you. You're the great physician. And so right now, we're doing that, Lord. We're open. We're listening. God, speak to us, full of grace, full of truth. Speak to us, Lord. We know that everything's going to be okay. We know, Lord, that you work all things together for our good. Lord, speak to your people right now. Let them know, God, that you're for them and not against them, that you're speaking even in this moment, God. We receive it today. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.